locomotive. You can't polish my chrome so clean. We can't fly off into the sunset together. A rusty old American dream still running. A rusty old American dream.
Here it is, another Saturday morning when we help you out with your vehicle problems with the help you get from ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Denny Long.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, too. I had the chance to make another fun visit to Lloyd's this past week for an oil change on my wife's vehicle. Always fun to be there. Not only do I look forward to visiting with you and your great technicians there, but I love walking down the street and getting some coffee and maybe a little breakfast and whatnot. What a great place to shop, too. So always love the plug Grand Avenue.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And, you know, you're on my special list. You get to pull right into my bay, which is, there's only a few of you on that list anymore.
I believe that. And I do, believe me, when I walk in, I do bow down.
So, appropriately.
Appropriately, yeah. Yes. Dan and I talk. By the way, let's get the listeners involved in the, as Dan has helped our CCO listeners out for, we figure, about 26 years or so now. But call in your car care question or text in. It's the same number. But believe me, you don't have to be a motorhead to ask your question either. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. But do keep in mind, don't wait, because Dan will be with us till just about 7:45. So it's a brief stay, but Dan is ready to help you out. So call in your question, text it in again, 651-461-9226. When you and I were talking, I had the chance to meet one of your great technicians, Mike, I think it is his name.
Yeah, Mike London. Yep.
And Mike, you said you know, this is an interesting story, and maybe you could phrase it better than I. But it has something to do with your hard-earned money spent on different types of oil. Like maybe we shouldn't go on the cheap side. Tell us that story.
Well, he told me this story, and that's why I'm sharing it. But he bought a pretty new Subaru WRX, which has a turbo as part of the engine. And, you know, most cars with a turbo require synthetic oil. So he started using some of our 0W30 oil that we have here that's private label. You know, a good oil, good yeah. quality oil. But on a relatively new car, he was finding that between oil changes, he was using a quart of oil. And that was bothering him on a new car. He didn't think that should be the case. And so just on a whim, he decided to switch from that private label oil to Mobil 1. And in switching to Mobil 1, he no longer consumed a quart of oil in between oil changes. So
wow.
I'm not sure what that's all about, but it's an unscientific test, but it's a test about, you know, by somebody who knows a lot about cars, and that was his conclusion, is that it made a difference.
And that's really unusual. Of course, I like that oil myself, that brand, not to sell it, but it's the one I use as well. But the is that as far as oil use? We've done in the previous shows, Dan. People have said, you know, I lose a quart every 800 miles. In some cases, and I've heard you say it, in some cases that is, quote, normal for any given vehicle, right? In certain cases.
I think it is. And the manufacturer would say that it is normal. And it is true. Every car consumes some oil. Like I said last week, it's not always measurable. You can't see that it's consuming oil, but because it's such a small quantity, but it's not uncommon for many cars to consume a quart of oil, especially between oil changes. And, you know, it is more than I would be comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like it, but as far as doing anything about it, I wouldn't do anything about it either, because it'd be a tough chase to figure out exactly where the consumption is happening. and then a very expensive repair to take care of the consumption.
Yeah, makes sense. Let's grab a phone call from Neil, who's calling in from Vadnais Heights, I believe.
To take care of the consumption.
Yeah, makes sense. Let's grab a phone call from Neil, who's calling in from Vadnais Heights, I believe, this morning. Thanks, Neil. What's your question for Dan Burns?
Hi, I've got a 2006 Taurus, and lately, going down the road, the theft light comes on, and the car cuts out for about half a second, and then it starts running again, and the theft light comes back on. And I read in the book it was something about a key, maybe, but I don't know. Also, my gas gauge has been acting up, and so I don't know if this is a computer problem or what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I think maybe it is. You know, that theft deterrent light and the fact that the car kills while you're driving along is I guess I would think that's a little bit alarming. You don't like your vehicle to stall when you're in the middle of a maneuver or something like that. And so I would certainly get it checked out. And the fact that you've had lights on, I think if you brought it into the shop, there's a good chance that they're going to find some diagnostic trouble codes in there that might give you some direction and some information. And I'm not sure on that particular vehicle exactly how the key and the theft deterrence system and all that works. But there is a chance that it's in the key or more likely in the receiver part of that, which is the ignition switch or in the ignition switch area. And I think I would start with some sort of diagnostics of that theft deterrent system and see if there's some historical information that would give us some direction.
All right, very good. Let's do this. We're getting a bunch of text messages pouring in here. 651-461-9226. Dan Burns is answering your car care questions until about 7:45 this morning, and we'll take this quick break. Be right back with more of your questions for Dan here on News Talk 830 WCCO. 30 degrees in the Twin Cities, and Monday by mid-morning will drop to 10 above. You stay with us here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show here on CCO. Denny Long here with ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Exactly where there on Grand, Dan?
Well, as you know, Denny, we are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net. Or give us a call as early as this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get that number before Dan takes his leave here, which is about 7:45. And we do have questions right now via phone and text. Here's the number for either 651-461-9226. Let's grab a call from Larry, calling in from Big Lake, I believe, this morning. Larry, you're on CCO with Dan Burns.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have a question about a 2015 GMC Acadia. The seat cooler on the driver's side stops working. We were on a road trip this summer, and after several hours of driving, it's like it even starts heating up. What do you think I got going on?
Well, the seat cooler is a fan that runs, and I guess the first option would be that fan after time is stalling out and quitting, and fan motors will do that. The normal fail for them is they'll work for a little while and then they'll quit as they heat up. And so if you're thinking the seat is getting warm just because the fan stops blowing, then I think you need to get that fan checked, and that may be what the problem is. On the other hand, if driving down the road for several hours, the fan actually turns off and the seat heater turns on, that's a more complicated problem, and you've got some sort of malfunction going on there, either in the module, the heated seat module, or in the wiring, or in the switches, or something like that. But I guess whenever somebody tells me that they have something erratic happening with a seat heater or something like that, I always get a little bit concerned about that, because that can become a safety thing, where if there is a significant short because of where the seat heater element is located, we could have a fire hazard there. So if the seat heater is actually turning on, I would be more concerned and want to get that checked pretty quickly if I was you.
All right. Texter wants to know, Dan, do catalytic converter cleaners that pour into the gas tank actually work, do you think?
Well, I have no way of knowing that. I've never seen a catalytic converter cleaner, a chemical like that, bring a failed catalytic converter back to life. So maybe that answers your question, in that if it's storing that code PO420, which is an underactive catalytic converter, I've never seen a cleaner repair that. If that's happening, the catalytic converter ends up being replaced, and that's the right fix for it. As far as cleaning it, I would have no way of measuring that or knowing if those chemicals add to the life of a catalytic converter or the longevity of a catalytic converter. So I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's grab a call from Rodney. He's calling in from Kilkenny this morning. Rodney, you are on CCO with Dan Burns.
Hi, I have a quick question. I have a 92 Saturn SL2. It's got about 160,000 miles on it. Fed the car for a little over 8 years. Run great. A couple weeks ago, I started idling really rough, but it would run really smooth on the road. Well, I brought it into my local shop, and they diagnosed it with a dead cylinder. So I'm like, well, I've had the car long enough. I got my money's worth out of it and everything. But and it ain't the rings, because it doesn't burn oil or anything. But is there any other thing I can check or whatever? Because it runs so good, I'm just thinking I'm not going to put any more money into it. Since it runs so good on the road, I don't know. Is there any way to see if it's like a valve problem?
Yes, there is, and that would be the next step. Is first of all, you should ask them what do they mean by it has a dead cylinder. Does that mean that the cylinder is not firing, or did they actually do a compression test and know that there's no compression on that cylinder? And that's an important question, because they're two very different repairs. I'm going to assume that they did a compression test and they know that there's no compression on that cylinder. And if that's the case, then it is a mechanical thing that has failed. Maybe a valve is being stuck open, or who knows what. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that can cause that. But if that's the case, then you're having the right thinking about it, in that would be a major repair and expensive. I'll just talk a little bit about, if it simply is the fact that that cylinder is not producing any power, then you could have something as simple as a bad spark plug or an ignition coil or something like that that's causing that. That could be pretty simple and pretty inexpensive. So I think I would call them back and get a better explanation as to what they meant by dead cylinder, and then proceed from there.
Okay. Now we're going to have a look at that forecast coming along in a moment. But this interesting text. Now, when you have a car that needs an unusual repair at Lloyd's, what resources do you use? Does anybody ever watch, like, YouTube videos? Interesting question.
You've watched me do it, Denny. I watch YouTube videos every day. And mostly it's about how do you reset a oil change light, because on every car they're all different, and the information on the aftermarket stuff that we get is sometimes inaccurate. But boy, when you go to YouTube, you can always find it there and get it taken care of. But yes, no, well, I'm not ashamed to say that we'll search high and low for the answer to a problem. We'll look at all of our professional sites, and we'll you know, there's chat lines, professional level chat lines that we talk with other mechanics around the world, and we'll do YouTube videos or all sorts of searches. And, you know, I think that's what makes somebody a good quality technician, if they're willing to stick with it and find the information, because nobody has it all. You got to know where to find it.
Absolutely. If you're worth your salt, you're going to check the ends of the earth to get the answer. All right, Dan, hang on. Dan Burns will be back here in a moment or two. We're going to have a look at that CCO forecast. 651-461-9226 is the text and phone number. Keep in mind that we'll be doing our garden show, Lawn and Garden Talk, in the 8 o'clock hour. And if you have a dog or cat at home, the vet will be turned. Dr. Gene Geske in the 10 o'clock hour to answer your pet questions here on 830 WCCO. Stay with us. This is the 4th of December. It's a Saturday. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here along with Dan Burns, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul there on Grand Avenue. Dan, we have some texters we want to help out too. Before we run out of time, here's one. It's a 2011 Forester Subaru, or Subaru Forester if you prefer. And it says 6 months since my last oil change, but only 1,000 miles on it. Should I be doing this? I mean, that's kind of typical these days, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think that I'll stick with my answer. My general answer is I think we should see your vehicle twice a year. And I've actually extended that timeline over the years. But I think we should see your vehicle at least twice a year. And usually, if you bring your vehicle in, even if there's only 1,000 miles on it, I'm going to recommend that we change the oil just because of time. And the rest of the vehicle needs to be checked over and be sure that it's ready for winter. For one thing, for sure that it needs is air in the tires to get you through winter. And there's a whole bunch of other things that we'll check in the process. But yes, I think you should bring that in for service.
One thing that I, when I was visiting with you getting an oil change that you checked, I hadn't thought about that, as you were checking all the tires as you always do on folks' cars or trucks. Hey, you check the spare. I wonder if a lot of us kind of forget about that spare if you have one.
Well, I think that's one of those things that you get from Lloyd's Automotive that you don't get everywhere on earth. And that's one of the things that we require here is that when I check your vehicle, I've checked it over completely. And when it's pulling out of my bay, I'm comfortable that either I've got it ready to go for you, or at least I've told you about it. And
yes,
you can decide what you want to do about it.
Very good. Good morning. This texter says, I recently purchased a 2018 Honda Civic with only 5,000 miles on it. It has a new battery. Anything else I should be concerned about? Tires, brakes, etc.?
Yeah, I think that's not very many miles for a 2018 Civic, so it hasn't been driven very much. And so I think, if it's been sitting, for example, in a damp garage somewhere, you could have trouble with brake rotors and things like that. So I guess I would bring that in for what we would describe as a used vehicle inspection and get it all checked over, see what the status of the oil change is and all those sorts of things. But yes, I would have that vehicle inspected before we head into winter to just know that everything is ready to go.
Okay. Here's an interesting one. You and I have talked about mice. How many, this text, I'll just go ahead and read it. How many auto manufacturers utilize soil-based wiring insulation on modern cars? The question I ask, because over time, and especially if you park or store the car for several months, winter storage, etc., there could be a likely possibility of mice, squirrels, or other critters trying to feast on those wires. I've never really thought about that.
Well, I appreciate the explanation as to what that's about, but absolutely, we find that that rodents want to chew on the wiring, and we've assumed that they're eating the coating, the rubber coating over the metal, because that looks like what when you find the problem in the wiring system that we're trying to repair, it looks like they've been eating a cob of corn. And so they do chew it down, and that's, it seems like they're I don't know if it's a petroleum base that they're after, or or a you know, an earth-based thing that they're after, but they do like it, and they do eat it, and it does cause big problems with the vehicle. So if you have found remnants or sign of rodents in your vehicle, don't take that lightly, because it can get very, very expensive if you just ignore it.
Thank you. It was red squirrels. A friend of mine had, I think he said it cost around $2,000 to repair the damage that red squirrels who got into his garage. It was not a laughing matter. I mean, that's a lot of money.
One of my friends had his vehicle totaled because they, you know, he had had it stored all winter and the mice had gotten in it, and you could not get the smell out of it. And the insurance company finally totaled it and got him a new car.
Wow, totaled. Mercy.
Yeah. It was a bad smell. It was.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was not negotiable.
And it's not going to go away.
Right.
All right, I think we have time for one more text. For months, the check engine light in my 2015 Mazda CX-5 will go on for a few days, then off, then back on again. It's not flashing. What should I do?
Well, I would get it checked and see. The reason that the check engine light comes on is one of the systems in your vehicle has failed a self-test. And when it fails a self-test, it turns the light on. Now, when you continue driving the vehicle will continue to do a self-test on that system and all the systems. And if on the next time around, or maybe the second time, sometimes it takes two past tests for the light to turn back off, but at any rate, the reason the light turns back off is because it passed the test the next time. And so if it's passing the test, you know, you've got an intermittent problem. But the fact that light has been on means that there's some data stored in there that we can access and find out what it's about and see if there's anything we need to do about it, which I'm sure there is, or what you should do about it, or if you should just continue to ignore it. And I doubt if that's true.
Here's a final text, kind of related to what we talked about before. It's a 2012 RAV4. 150,000 miles on it, burning a quart of oil every 2,000 miles. Texter says, should I panic or just keep buying oil?
Yeah, I think you're going to find that you're going to... Well, there are some inexpensive things that could be wrong that could be causing it to use a little bit of oil. For example, if the crankcase ventilation system has a failure going on and it's burning a little bit of oil through that, those repairs can sometimes be minor and inexpensive. But if it's an actual mechanical problem with the engine, if some oil is blowing by the piston rings or something like that and burning for that reason, then it's going to get very expensive to repair it. It certainly can be repaired, but it's going to get very expensive. And usually, oftentimes, the repair of putting a little bit of oil in it once in a while is the most cost-saving way to go about it.
Yeah, especially in this case, it's 150,000 miles, which is not uncommon these days. And if you like the vehicle, hang in there.
Put a little oil in it and keep it going.
Absolutely.
If you don't, someone's going to. That's still a good car.
Isn't right? that true? Someone else will if you don't. Right. Dan, if we need some help from Lloyd's, how do we get in touch with you good folks there?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Stop by and see what we're all about. You can find us on the web and get some information there at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
Very good. Always a pleasure, Dan. Thanks so much for the help, and let's do this again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks,
all
Danny.
Right. Thanks, Dan. Dan Burns, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Jack Farrell's going to be straight ahead. Then following Jack's wine chat, we'll have our lawn and garden show. Then keep in mind, after Andy Lindis's home improvement hour at 9, at 10 o'clock, we'll be talking with the vet. You have a chance to ask the veterinarian your question, Dr. Gene Geske, in the 10 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO.